go back to work and all. So I have selected a passage that really requires about a good hour, but I'm going to try to cut it down to about 20 minutes. So if you have your Bible, you can open it to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. And as we look at this passage, we have to bear in mind of what's going on in our culture. Seems like the last few years, things that used to be right are now wrong, and things that used to be wrong are now right. Things that used to be acceptable are now rejected, and things that used to be rejected are now accepted and paraded. And the question is, what's going on in our world? Well, this has happened just over the last few decades. What is happening in our world? And sometimes as Christians, we can get discouraged. When you're out in that battle and you're fighting about it, you realize there's another one coming right up after it. Sometimes you wonder, can I continue on? Do I have the strength to persevere? And you can be discouraged. And I know as Christians in general, there's a lot of discouragement. But I want you to know, I'm here to tell you today, we are living in one of the most exciting times in the history of the world. We're living in a time in which the prophets spoke. They long for this day because we're nearing, I believe, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here in this passage of Scripture, we find that the Apostle Paul had been teaching in Thessalonica. He had been teaching about the return of Christ and how that God is going to take care of His children and they will one day eventually be with Him. He moved on to Berea and other places, establishing churches and ministering to people. In his absence, some of the Thessalonians died. This prompted a question, well, what will happen to our loved ones? Will they be included in Christ's return? And so Paul writes back in part to answer that question, and I'm glad he does because it provides us great information and insight into God's plan for our future. So I want to look at this passage of Scripture and gain from it some encouragement today. And I want to mention to you quickly four things that you can be encouraged about today. First of all, you can be encouraged about the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is coming again. In this passage, Paul says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want to answer your question about those who are asleep. Now, when he says the word sleep here, he is using a euphemistic metaphor. He's not referring to soul sleep. Some people believe in soul sleep. That is, when a person dies, they stay in an unconscious state until later upon the resurrection. The Bible does not teach that. This is a metaphor that is used to refer to death. It is a delicate term referring to those who have died in the Lord. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant about those who are asleep, so that you will not be grieved as those, the rest, who do not have hope. He's speaking to those who are believers, those who have embraced Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He says, you don't have to be like the rest who are hopeless. Those apart from the Lord Jesus Christ are without hope. And then he talks about salvation here in verse 14. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that is the gospel in a nutshell, that Jesus died and rose again. The reason Jesus came was because we are sinners. And we need a Savior. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. We all, as human beings, are sinners. And we're in need of a Savior. Jesus Christ came and lived without sin, bearing the penalty for sin, which is death, and was raised from the grave in victory, so that through faith in Him alone we might be saved. So when he says, if we believe in Jesus, he's saying, since we believe in Christ, that is our victory. Everything that Christ has promised is going to be realized by His children. So he's talking about salvation. He's talking about His saints. He says, even so, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. Again, he uses that metaphor. Those who have died in Christ, those who were saved, but who died when Jesus returns, He will bring them with Him. They're coming with Him. The Apostle Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. And so when we die, the Spirit leaves the body, the Spirit that has been made alive in Christ Jesus. It leaves this old mortal body and it goes into the presence of Christ. And now Paul is saying, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when Jesus returns, He's coming with those who have died before the return of Christ. So they're going to be included in his plan. So if we believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. He speaks about the return of the Lord. Now, technically, this is not the second coming. Some people refer to this as the first phase of the second coming. But Jesus never literally comes to the earth at this point. We meet him in the air. This is what we call the rapture of the church, and we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But what we're looking for now is the return of Christ, the rapture of the church. I believe that is the next thing on God's prophetic calendar. Nothing has to be fulfilled in order for that to take place. He can come at any time. Once Jesus Christ returns, shortly thereafter we will see what is called the tribulation period. It will begin by Israel signing a peace treaty with what she believes is a credible person, bringing peace to the Middle East for the first time ever. And as a result, for 3.5 years, things will be relatively peaceful. This will be following, remember, the rapture of the church. Did you know that the world wants to get rid of the church, and they're going to at some point in the rapture? God has an evacuation plan, but when the church is gone from this earth, this earth will not be fit for man nor beast. But there will be relative peace for the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, which will last 7 years. And the second half of the tribulation period begins what is known as the Great Tribulation that will begin when this peace treaty is broken. And that is when you're going to see unprecedented horror on this earth. As a matter of fact, Jesus said concerning the tribulation that there's never been a time like it in the past. Now think about that. There's been some horrendous times in the history of the world. Jesus said there's never been a time as bad as this in the past, and there will never be a time like it as bad in the future. There's going to be a terrible time. And it will culminate with what is known as the Battle of Armageddon, where Jesus will return with his church. He will conquer the enemies of Israel. He will establish his millennial kingdom for 1,000 years on the earth. We will rule and reign with him. This is the time where the Bible speaks about how they will take their instruments of war and they will convert them into farm equipment. This is the time when the lamb and the lion will lie down together. Peace and harmony will prevail. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will have been bound, thrown into a place of confinement. He will be released for tempting the nations for a short time. He will be conquered. He will be cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. And the great white throne judgment will occur. And those who have rejected Christ will be judged. They too will be thrown in the lake of fire, and we will go into the eternal state. Folks, that's what we have to look forward to. I want you to know, if that doesn't excite you, if that doesn't give you some hope and joy in the midst of frustration and hardship, I don't know what to tell you. But I knew Jesus is coming again. He could come at any moment for his church. And this is what the Apostle Paul is speaking about. And he goes on to verse 15, and he talks about not just the return of the Lord, but the resurrection of the saints. He says in verse 15, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord." In other words, this is not speculation. This is God's inspired, inerrant word that I'm telling you. This is from God. This is not wishful thinking. This is the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. Now, he's saying that if you are alive when Jesus comes to rapture the church, you're not going to have an advantage over those who have already died. Now, remember, he's answering that question they had about what will happen to our loved ones who die before Jesus comes. He's saying they're going to be included in God's plan. He's not going to forget them. So you'll have no advantage if you're alive over those who have died in the Lord. He says in verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout." Now, I really like this because this speaks about the personal nature with which Jesus will come. In other words, he's not going to send a committee after us. Aren't you glad about that?
Amen.
That he's not going to send a Baptist committee to get the church. No, he is coming personally for the church. And that's what he promised. Remember in John 14 when he's speaking with his disciples, one of those places where he talked about his return and he's going to come for his church and he would not leave them as orphans, that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. And then remember after Jesus' resurrection, just prior to his ascension, he tells the church what to do, to go out and spread the gospel. He ascends and then the angels say, he's coming again. Just in the same way you see him go, he's coming again. So Jesus is keeping his promise. He will come again for the church. This is the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. I believe that shout is going to be, come up here. And we will hear that shout. And we will respond by obedience. And also he says, with the voice of the archangel, there will be angels accompanying his return. And he says, and with the trumpet of God announcing his return, blowing the trumpet, which is consistent with what happened in the Jewish state, the nation of Israel throughout history, as they used trumpets to signal various things, and that's the case here. And the Bible says, notice this now, the dead in Christ will rise first. You say, well, wait a minute now, hold it. There must be an error or a contradiction in the Bible, because just a few moments ago, we read where those who have died in the Lord will come with Jesus. Now the Bible says here that they will be raised first. Now, oh, that's a mistake in the Bible. Oh, no, friend. There are no mistakes in the Bible, no contradictions. Let me explain what he's saying here. When a person dies, the spirit leaves the body and goes to be with the Lord. The body is placed in the ground, awaiting the resurrection. The body will rise again in the resurrection of the saints. Now, I have some good news for you. This body, your body and my body, we're not taking it to heaven. We're not taking this one to heaven. And that's a good thing. The Bible says that this body, this mortal body, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's tainted with sin. We are going to receive a new body, though. And I'm glad about that, because this body's wearing out. And it's not a recycled body. It's not a body that has been patched up. It is a new body. The Apostle Paul speaks about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, what we call the resurrection chapter. Among many other things he says, he talks about the resurrection being likened unto the planting of a seed. Now, I know that there are probably some farmers here, or you at least have a garden, or at least you know how it works. You go out into your garden and you take a seed. Let's say you take a corn seed. You plant corn in your garden. That corn will sprout. You water it, you fertilize it, you keep the weeds out, it will grow, and it will produce what? Corn. It will produce what? Corn. Now, once the corn has been produced, you don't go back into the garden and dig around in the soil looking for the seed you planted. Isn't that true? Now, if you see someone doing that, two things could be possible. Either they don't know what to do when it comes to gardening, or they are insane. One of the two. You don't go back after the seed, you lose the seed. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the same is true when these bodies are planted. You don't regain these bodies. A body likened to it will be resurrected from the grave when Jesus comes. This is the resurrection of the saints. And that's a great time. Now, so we are raised from the dead. Those who have died will be raised from the dead. And then verse 17, he talks about the rapture of the church. Specifically, he deals with this. He says, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. He is speaking here about the rapture of the church. You see the word, if you have your Bible, if not, just keep it in mind. It says caught up. The Greek word is harpazo. It means a sudden snatching away. A sudden snatching away. Now, we get the term rapture, which is not in the Bible, by the way. But don't be disturbed by that. The word Bible's not in the Bible. The word Trinity's not in the Bible. So don't be worried about that. But the word rapture actually comes from a Latin word that was used to translate from Greek harpazo into Latin reptuo. And when that Latin word is translated into English, it is the word rapture. So here he's speaking about the sudden catching away of people who are Christians who are alive. Folks, that could happen at any moment. We're looking for that to occur. The return of Christ for His church and what we call the rapture of the church. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord where? In the air. He's not coming to earth at this point. This is not technically the second coming. This is the rapture of the church. But we will meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. This is the rapture of the church. And I want you to know, I believe Jesus is coming again. I believe He's coming again. Now, some of you, I know you may think, well, you know, it's hard to believe that God is going to cause this resurrection of a new body. That sounds kind of science fiction to me. I don't understand that. Let me say it this way. Think with me for just a moment. Where did you get your present body? Now, don't tell me Walmart. Wasn't Walmart, wasn't Sears. You didn't order it from Amazon or somewhere else. You got your body without request. You had no choice in the matter. You had no thought given to the matter. It was created for you by God to live in this present environment. Now, where are you going to get your next body? The same source. God will give you a new body that will be equipped to live in the new environment. It will be a body that will be likened unto the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will not die. It will not get diseased. It will not be temptable. I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to it. If I could, I'd change mine right now and then just go ahead on. I mean, it's that good. But that's the return of Christ. So we've talked about three things already that should encourage you in this difficult age. The return of Christ, the rapture of the church, and the resurrection of the saints. Now finally, just to reiterate here, Paul says in verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. That's the reassurance that comes from the truth. When you know the truth, it doesn't matter what they say on television. It doesn't matter what the Supreme Court decides. When you know the truth, you can be reassured in knowing that God is in control. So, church, what I want to say to you today is stand strong. Stand up, stand strong, look for Jesus to come, live every day as if today is the day, because it could be. And be as faithful as you can through the power of the Holy Spirit and getting the gospel to your community and around the world. And I'm just thankful for you as a church. You're giving to the cooperative program. You're cooperating with other like-minded believers. You're making a difference. And I want to challenge you to even do more and more for the kingdom of God in these last days in which we live. Jesus Christ is coming soon. And I want you to know, when He comes, may He find His bride spotless and without shame, ready to see Him. You know, there's some singers from another generation, the Gaithers. Have you ever heard of the Gaithers? Well, they used to sing a song, "The King is Coming. The King is Coming. I just heard the trumpet sound, and now His face I see. The King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God. He's coming for me. He's coming for you if you know Him." Now, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you what you need. You need Jesus in your life. If I didn't know Christ, I would be afraid. I would be absolutely horrified at what I see coming on this world and what's happening in our world. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, here's how you know it. First of all, you acknowledge that you're a sinner. The Bible says we've all sinned. If you doubt that, just look at the commands and go down the commands and ask, have I kept this command? Have I kept this command? The commandments are like a mirror. You look in and you see God's character and you see where you stand in relationship to Him, that you are a sinner. We've all sinned. So believe Jesus is the Savior. Accept the fact that you're a sinner. Acknowledge it. Believe Jesus is the Savior who died for you and rose again. And surrender your life to Christ. Tell Him, Lord, I have blown it. I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus is the Savior. I give my life to You. I surrender my all to You. Please accept me into Your family. Forgive me my sins. And give me the strength to live for You. And the Bible says those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me pray for you, and then I know you have to go to work and other places. So let's pray together. Father, what a joy it has been to be with Your people here this afternoon in this precious church with this faithful pastor. I'm honored to be here among them. And I pray that You'll take Your word today and encourage them and strengthen them, uplift them, Lord. Give them courage and boldness. Give them a sense of urgency to share the gospel with the lost in this community and around the world. And Father, we're grateful that when things look bad, we know You have everything under control. We can trust You, and everything's going to work out. And we thank You for that promise. In Jesus' name, amen.